the past year, the pandemic has seen an uptick in labor shortages, people changing jobs, and workers going on strike. Recent work stoppages at John Deere and Kellogg, for example, produced new contracts for their union employees. Labor union membership overall continues to decline across the U.S., but workers at major corporations like Starbucks and Amazon are pushing for new collective bargaining rights. We're exploring where the organized labor movement stands entering 2022, what role the pandemic may be playing, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you a union employee or did you used to be? How do you feel about the strength of your union in 2022? If not, how do you feel about labor unions in general? Do you prefer at-will employment instead? How about right-to-work laws, as we have here in Wisconsin? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Kate Bronfenbrenner is a senior lecturer and director of labor education research at Cornell University's School of Industrial and Labor Relations. Kate, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, data from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics shows just 10% of the workforce are members of labor unions. Can you start us off by just telling us about the long-term trends when it comes to labor union membership in the country?
Well, labor movement membership has been in decline in terms of density, but we've seen that surveys have shown that more than nearly 50% of workers today, unorganized workers, would join a union if they could. The reason that they aren't, they say, is that they fear the opposition from employers. We know from research I've done for more than 30 years that that when workers try to organize, employers in the private sector aggressively oppose unions through threats, illegal discharges, intimidation, coercion. And that's the reason that workers are afraid to organize. And we see that public support for unions is the highest it's been in 60 years. More than 68% of workers, the public support unions right now. And we see that in the support for strikes, the public support for strikes. And workers are, the public is supporting organizing and strikes when it happens.
We see some high-profile strikes in the news lately. Are we seeing more of them than we have in recent years?
Yes, the U.S. government under Reagan stopped counting strikes when fewer than 1,000 workers were in the workplace. And we know that most workplaces have fewer than 1,000 workers. So Cornell University started a strike tracker. And we started tracking strikes. And we found that strikes have increased dramatically in the last year. The media has noticed that, too. We've seen a lot of big strikes, but also small strikes across the country. Workers are angry. We've seen two trends happening in the country. Workers are either quitting or they're resisting. They're going on strike. And it's not a surprise because they watched in the pandemic as while they were working harder and sacrificing and taking risks, they saw corporations were making money and exploiting the pandemic to their own advantage. And workers were fed up. They weren't willing to risk their lives and their families' lives for corporations to take advantage.
I wanted to talk more about the impact of the pandemic. You were just saying that partly is driving some workers to be interested in either unionizing or leaving their workplace. Has it made organizing a challenge in some ways, though? The same restrictions that make a workplace hazardous might make a workplace-related meeting equally hazardous.
Unions have had to become very creative. They're learning to use digital organizing. They're having to teach workers how to organize themselves. Union organizers are very creative and people, and the workers themselves are, as you notice, have been going out there and organizing.
I think people, if they think of a union, they might think of a factory, an industrial work site. There's a lot more to unions than that. Can you talk about who tends to be most likely to be unionized these days?
Well, it's interesting. All very different people are organizing. Museum workers, coffee, baristas, delivery drivers, food service workers, grocery workers, every part, every possible occupation are turning to unions, but the majority of new workers organizing today are women of color, immigrant workers. Those are the workers who are most successful at organizing. But we also see professional workers, nurses, teachers, really every classification. The workers who are, interestingly enough, have been least likely to organize today have been, you know, the traditional workers in manufacturing, because they face the threat of plant closings, which often scares them from organizing. That threat that if you organize, the work is going to move overseas is a very effective threat. What I find from my research is employers make that threat, but they don't necessarily follow through. But that threat really scares workers.
Talking about the current state of labor and organized labor in the United States, Kate Bronfenbrenner is with us from Cornell University's School of Industrial and Labor Relations. Let's go to your calls at 800-642-1234. Vivian is with us in Green Bay. Vivian, hi.
I'm very happy to hear this topic because my history goes back to 2010 with a recall and when the unions in Wisconsin were really just gutted. But I retired after 50 years, 25 years in private industry where I was treated fairly or negotiated for fair treatment, 25 years in public service. And when I got to that position, we had immense responsibility and the money wasn't there and the benefits weren't there. So I put together an offer to the school board at a public meeting and said, this is why we deserve this, because I had no union experience. Their response was no, and again, no. And my recourse was, well, I guess I have to start a union here. So we did that, went through mediation, got our contract approved by an arbitrator. I left that job, burned out after 5 years, but my legacy was that union. And what I discovered about unions, people were saying, the union protects the lazy. The union protects the people who don't do it. And my observation was the administrators and the supervisors did not do their jobs to document why that person should be fired.
Vivian, thanks for the call. Kate, Vivian, a long history there with unions, including starting one. But do you have thoughts on what she said about who unions protect and the sort of what goes into firing somebody in a unionized workforce?
Well, it's not as easy to fire someone as people think, but our laws are very clear that, that we have collective bargaining and we have contracts and there is, you know, employers can only fire in a union contract, employers can fire with just cause. And if there's just cause, the employer can fire someone and the union can only protect someone if there is not just cause. If the employer is not a good manager, and then Victoria's right. If there's not good management, then they won't have done their job. You know, a good union is focused on representing their members' interests. They're not focused on protecting bad employees. Because then workers wouldn't want them.
Thanks for the call. We're talking about labor unions during the pandemic with Kate Bronfenbrenner, Director of Labor Education Research at Cornell University. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you ever thought about forming a labor union in your workplace? Why or why not? Are you happy with where you work? Do you feel like your rights as a worker are being respected, whether you're in a union or not? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our conversation with Kate Bronfenbrenner, Cornell University's Director of Labor Education Research, with us today looking at how the pandemic has affected labor unions in the United States. You can join in with your experiences or questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. Jim is with us in Madison. Jim, hi.
Hello?
Jim, hi. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, I work in post-secondary education, and I basically have had nothing but pay cuts ever since Act 10 came down. It took like an immediate 8% pay cut when it came down, and then I took a 30% pay cut, and I haven't even had a cost of living raise for the last 10 years, and I'm likely to not see one in the foreseeable future. And we still have a union, but we don't have a union contract. And I really appreciated my union. I wish we could have it back, but I don't know if that's ever going to happen.
Jim, thanks for that call. Jim referring to Wisconsin's Act 10 law, which drastically reduced the power of public employee unions, as he was talking about there. Kate, what kind of trends have you seen when it comes to state laws for public and private employee unions?
Well, I think that we are in a different time than when Act 10. We saw the teacher strikes across the country just in the time just before the pandemic, and I think we may be in I would give some hope to Jim that we may be in a period where there might be a revival of the teachers' unions in Wisconsin again. I wouldn't give up hope that he and his fellow teachers and in the state could come back and build a movement to bring the unions back in Wisconsin. I think people are fighting back. They're frustrated. They know the difference that it made to have collective bargaining for teachers. You saw what happened in the red states in the Southeast and the Southwest. And if they could do it there, you can do it in Wisconsin.
Thanks for the call at 800-642-1234. We'll go to Dale next in Milwaukee. Dale, hi.
Hello. Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I was going to write the professor, but thank you for taking my call. I have three quick comments. I'm in my mid-60s. I worked at a large company in Milwaukee. I won't name it, but I had thousands of employees. I was both an hourly worker and union and a manager. Wonderful experiences, with the exception of maybe a few hiccups here and there, but wonderful respect. This was back in the 70s, in the 80s, in the 90s. Absolutely respect from both sides. The second term is the term that the professor probably certainly knows, is seniority. I tell people the best benefit of the union is seniority. So if you're a driver or a person working as a barista, whatever, and you've been there 3 years, you have a little more choice for your job assignments than someone who's just started. And the third point, and then I'll hang up, is, am I wrong, but I heard not too long ago that the Congress, this country, and the Senate of this country are seniority-based. Whoever is the most senior gets the committee assignments, and the most junior really doesn't. So, okay,
Dale,
thank you.
Thanks for the call. Though you can get fired every couple few years if you're in Congress. But, Dale, thanks for the call. Dale's main point, though, of course, about things like seniority benefits for union members, Kate.
Yeah, one of the things that reasons that workers organize is that in a non-union environment, the arbitrariness of decisions. Workers are at the whim of a supervisor or a manager who can, pick and choose by favoritism who gets to do what, and a wage structure or overtime or anything that there's lack of fairness. And when you look at the primary reason workers organize, they organize because they want decisions to be made based on some kind of schedule and fairness and the end to arbitrary decision-making. And seniority is one of the ways that you get rid of arbitrary decision-making. If you say that, okay, we're going to do overtime based on seniority, or we're going to do a wage schedule based on seniority, or to rotate things through seniority, it's a way that you get rid of favoritism. And that's one of the ways that you get rid of it. And that's why workers organize.
Thanks for that call. We'll go time for one more caller. Pat joins us now in northern Wisconsin. Pat, hello.
Hello.
Oh, what'd you want to tell us about, Pat?
Well, I've been a 37-year union member and a trade union, and I've never had the security of seniority on that positions that I worked in the trade unions. We have always been under the assumption we perform and do our job, and we hold our position by our performance and the work that we produce and the quality of our work. And that seems to be confused with some of the other unions that are out there with their seniority and their protection of the workers' rights. And the trade unions that I worked in, you had no seniority and you had no right to hold your job, but for the quality of your work and the amount of your work, and you could be fired or relieved of your job at any time.
Pat, were there workplace protections that came along from the union or any kind of protections?
Well, we benefited by negotiating our medical benefits and our wages and work hours and things like that.
Gotcha. Thanks for sharing your experience, Pat. We're just about out of time. Kate, what are you watching for as we hopefully soon emerge from the pandemic? What are the next things, just briefly, you're watching for in organized labor?
Is that for me?
For you, Kate, yeah.
Yeah. I think Pat's in the building trades, by the way, which has a different employment structure. I think what we're looking for, first of all, is how labor responds to the pandemic. The labor movement is a very diverse movement. They're, ranging from the building trades, I think Pat is into, the unions that are filled with immigrant members and members of color. The real challenge for the labor movement is the need to organize more members. And I think that they need to focus more on organizing and less on politics. They need to put their resources into organizing. They need to really take on the challenge of racism in this country and the divisions within the racial divisions in this country.
Thanks to our guest, Kate Brodfin-Brenner, Senior Lecturer and Director of Labor Education Research at Cornell University, with us today talking about how labor unions have fared during the pandemic.